ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
We've got some breaking news here in the paddock. As McLaren's Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri have been disqualified from the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
Have you ever made a blue at work? Something really quite bad. There's that moment when you realise you have really, really messed up. And in the pit of your stomach, there's a churn, isn't there? A physical reaction to your own error. Imagine how the McLaren engineers are feeling this week. They configured their own cars illegally for the Vegas Grand Prix. That error has left the door wide open for Max Verstappen, the sporting equivalent of a trained assassin. In an industry based around meticulous attention to detail, how does that happen? Could it cost Lando Norris or even Oscar Piastri a world title? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Mick Doyle is the ABC's Formula One writer. Mick, what is a skid block and how did McLaren mess theirs up so badly at the Las Vegas Grand Prix?
Doesn't everyone want to know what a skid block is at the moment? So a skid block, it's also known as a plank, and it's a little sheet of metal that sits underneath the car. It's attached to the floor. It is exactly 10 millimetres thick when it is applied to the car. And it essentially regulates the height of a Formula One car. Every team would love to run their car as low to the ground as possible. To regulate that, there are skid blocks or planks put underneath the car that are 10 mil thick. During the course of a race, those planks will come into contact with the ground as the floor of the car bottoms out. So your skid block or plank is allowed to wear by 1 mil and no more than that. So at the end of the race, your skid blocks must be at least 9 millimetres thick. And where McLaren ran afoul of that on the weekend in Las Vegas was their rear skid blocks on both Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris's car had exceeded that. Very minuscule. Lando's was out by 0.12 of a mil, and Oscar's was 0.26 of a mil. But in the world of Formula One technical regulations, there is no grey area.
Now, the team also said there was a degree of breach that was lower than what has been in previous years. Now, the FIA looked at this and they said, unfortunately, there is no provision in the regulations or precedent for any penalty other than the usual penalty, which is disqualification.
If you're wrong by a little or wrong by a lot, it's the same result. You're wrong and they got disqualified for it.
Tiny things with enormous implications. How did it come to light after the Vegas Grand Prix? Is this something that is checked after every race? They go around and check all the skid blocks?
More or less. They've started getting more robust with their testing. From time to time, it's been randomised, but I think when you're a front runner, you do get the eye over your car a little more than maybe some of the rear markers. But as the cars went in for their technical scrutiny, it was found by the technical delegate that it was believed that McLaren's skid blocks had run afoul of the rules. That gets then sent to the stewards. And in all honesty, I can't remember a time I saw something like this go to the stewards and it didn't result in a disqualification. So it was one of those things where we kind of knew it was coming. It took a little while to be formalised. But once it was, that was it. Lando and Oscar lost all of their points and finished as disqualified runners of the Las Vegas Grand Prix.
In many ways, Formula One supremacy is about how good your driver is. But in many ways, it's also about technical prowess and attention to detail. So how is that error made by a team in McLaren that has seemingly, through the course of this season, been the leader in those respective spaces?
That's a really good question, and I guess only McLaren will know how they got that calculation wrong, because it really is a calculation to see or to understand how low you can run your car at any particular circuit. What caught out McLaren and what they tried to claim as a mitigating circumstance was there was limited practice throughout the Grand Prix. Usually on a Grand Prix weekend, you get 3 practice sessions, but it was quite shortened in Vegas because during the second one, they had multiple red flags, which, cut their time.
Oh, we got another red flag.
JB, I'm not going to blame you.
Got another red flag. I don't know if it's the same thing.
Red flag.
Is it the same thing? I wonder. Thanks, Jensen. I think that might be it from you tonight. We have another red flag session over.
And the third practice session was completely wet.
And it was declared a wet track a few moments ago, but it is kind of drying all the time, or trying to, because at the moment the track temperature is under 14 degrees and the air temperature is just hovering around 13 degrees. It's a wee bit chilly, Anthony Davidson, and it's going to be a whole lot slippy out on that circuit.
And what that meant was the teams couldn't do what is known as high fuel runs, or put their cars out there and just do lap after lap after lap to get a lot of data, including what happens to the floor of their car. What happened in the Grand Prix? Did the other nine teams, you know, raise their car more conservatively? Did McLaren risk it and lower their car to try and be more aggressive? I guess we'll never really know the answer to it. But they got it wrong by the smallest margin, but that was enough.
Is this the kind of error that gets people sacked? Like, if Lando Norris misses out on a world title as a consequence of this, is this heads rolling sort of stuff?
I don't think it's heads rolling sort of stuff. This has happened before. And the last time it happened was actually for Ferrari in China this year, when Lewis Hamilton's rear skid blocks were also found to have breached the limits.
Let's start, though, with the big breaking Formula One news today, that both Ferrari drivers have been disqualified from the Chinese Grand Prix. Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton finished fifth and sixth, but their cars both failed post-race technical checks.
The other time it's happened before that, or the more recent time prior to this year, was in 2023 in Texas, when it was again Hamilton for Mercedes and Leclerc as well for Ferrari, whose rear skid blocks had run afoul. And in those two previous examples, they were sprint Grand Prix weekends. Another example where there was limited practice for the teams, and ultimately in the Grand Prix, at least a couple of cars were caught out. So, look, it's unfortunate. They'll investigate it, but you know, it's not a horrendous breach of the rule. It's not deliberate cheating.
The FIA said that they strongly believe it was unintentional and it was not in any way deliberate, but there is no cause for them to give any other penalty than a disqualification.
It's nothing more than a miscalculation, and they didn't get it wrong by much, but as I said before, getting wrong by a little and a lot, it doesn't matter. It's the same result.
McLaren have released statements apologising to their fans and their drivers. Hey, Max Verstappen won the race. He's now level with Oscar Piastri. Insane scenes. A four-time world champion, a reigning world champion. Is this looming as his most famous victory, if he can somehow pull this off the Dutchman?
He is mowing down the McLarens. It's not too dissimilar to the train in the second Harry Potter coming for Harry and Ron. Like, he is just mowing them down. What he has done in the final third of this season has been simply brilliant.
Oh, yeah, simply lovely, that. What a great race.
And take nothing away from either Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri, but the drive from Max Verstappen is worthy of any world championship. Now, we are in a situation where Lando leads the driver standings by 24 points to Piastri and Verstappen. So while Norris still has a comfortable lead, you're right, he's in striking distance if he has a terrible weekend. What Verstappen has done in a team that has had a principal change during the year, has struggled with its car and its setup, has invested more time into developing this car, despite the fact that the regulations in this cycle period end. It's been a magnificent turnaround, and really, in my view, has cemented Verstappen as one of the real upper echelon drivers we've ever had. And there's only a handful of them, and he's one of them.
The other obvious Australian angle is Oscar Piastri. Do the final two race weekends suit his style? And has this wiping of points situation been a bit of a blessing in disguise for the Victorian?
Well, it's ironic. He's actually better off after the disqualification than he was beforehand. Prior to the disqualification, he was facing a 30-point deficit. Now it's 24, which, you know, is one of the odd silver linings for the Victorian. He comes to Qatar where he has, so Qatar is this weekend, and he has a good form in Qatar. He has won a sprint race there before. It was his first Formula One victory.
In his rookie season, in his 17th Grand Prix weekend, Oscar Piastri has done the job brilliantly. The Australian driver will see the checkered flag first. Oscar Piastri wins the sprint to take McLaren to the top step once again.
And then Abu Dhabi, he has qualified well there in the past. Last year, he was up at the top of the order, but then got hit by Verstappen and it ended his race and ended his winning chances. So theoretically, Oscar Piastri should be much better suited to the final two tracks of the season, but so is Lando Norris and so is Max Verstappen.
From a pure mathematics standpoint, boil it down for us this weekend. What does Lando Norris need to do to clinch the world title?
Yeah, great question. So essentially, if Lando Norris holds a 24-point lead in the championship, if he can extend that to 26 points or greater, he will become world champion. That's because at the end of this weekend, there is only one Grand Prix left where the maximum points you can score is 25. So if he's 26 or above, he can't be chopped down. The simplest way to do that is just finish ahead of Verstappen and Piastri. And for the other two, the chasers, their equation's simple. Just finish ahead of Lando and keep yourself in the fight. So in the simplest terms, that's what it boils down to. If Lando Norris can finish ahead of his teammate and Max Verstappen, he should be world champion by the end of this weekend.
You can read Mick Doyle's analysis ongoing on the ABC Sport website. Mick, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Pat. Appreciate it, mate.
Headlines. Ash Riddell is officially the best player in the AFLW. After winning the W Award for best and fairest in the comp, the Kangaroos star gave a pretty brilliant speech, simultaneously praising her partner and roasting him at the same time.
You got me back into football and, gosh, you annoy me when you try and give me tips on how to play the game. When all you ever played was rugby and you're the worst football player. But you still think you're a better football player than me, but whatever. You just stick to doing our gym programs and telling people off.
Spouse burns. They're such good burns, right? Fun fact, Riddell was overlooked in not one but two AFLW drafts. The best player in the comp being passed in twice. Whoops. A reminder, the AFLW Grand Final between the Kangaroos and the Brisbane Lions gets underway this Saturday. Live coverage on the ABC Listen app. People are losing their minds in the English Premier League. First, we saw legendary manager Pep Guardiola clashing with a cameraman after Man City lost 2-1 to Newcastle.
No, I feel embarrassed, ashamed when I see it. I don't like it. I apologise for the camera after 1 second. So
That's what I'm asking. Do you even need to? Because it just happens, doesn't these things?
I am who I am. Even 1,000 games, I'm not a perfect person. I make a huge mistake, so it's not about that, but I don't regret. What is for sure, I defend my team and my club.
If that wasn't weird enough, how about Everton v Manchester United? Everton's Idrissa Gueye was sent off for slapping his own teammate, Michael Keane. And yet, the Toffees still won, beating the Red Devils 1-0. Cricket, where Josh Hazlewood and Pat Cummins were spotted bowling in Sydney. Cummins was rolling the arm over with the pink ball, which feels like a positive indicator from an Australian perspective ahead of the Brisbane pink ball test. Hazlewood having a trundle is hugely positive after reports in recent days had suggested he might not be seen again during this Ashes series. As for England, three players, Jacob Bethell, Josh Tung, Matthew Potts, will head to Canberra for the pink ball game between the English Lions, which is a kind of shadow team or development side, and the Australian Prime Minister's 11. So none of those who are expected to take part at the Gabba from an England perspective will look to get some work in with the pink ball. That is a commitment to the Bazball bit, isn't it? Oh, and Usman Khawaja will not play in the Golf Pro-Am event tied to the Australian PGA Tournament in Queensland. He was penciled in for a hit on Wednesday, but after what went down in Perth on the course and off it with his back spasms, he has pulled out. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Sky Sports, F1 and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.